In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the end of the service, when we go down to the shrine of Our Lady, we will say the Litany of Our Lady, rather than the Angelus. And we shall do that because it's a bit grander. And it's going to be a bit grander because it will be in honour of Wednesday. Wednesday will be the 8th of December, and that is the Feast of the Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this has been a rather controversial feast day in the Western Church. In the Eastern Church, they know exactly what they think about it, but in the Western Church, the largest church which has observed it has, of course, been the Roman Catholic Church. And at least since the 19th century, since 1851, I think it was, when Pius the Ninth decided to declare that the Blessed Virgin was immaculately conceived in her mother St. Anne's womb, it's been known by Roman Catholics as the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. When I taught in the Roman Catholic school in England, it was always known as the Immac. And I wondered what earth the Immac was until finally I was enlightened on the matter. Now, a number of Anglicans also are enthusiastic about this, and I'm not sure that they should be. On the one hand, I'm absolutely certain that we should keep all our Blessed Lady's feasts with great joy and with honour to her. But the Immaculate Conception is based on a particular view of human nature which not all the Catholic Church holds. That's to say, particularly the churches in the East do not hold it. It's based on a particularly Augustinian view of human nature, which is that original sin is a very serious thing for which one is guilty. St. Augustine taught not just that we inherit the sort of moral weakness of our ancestors, but that we are guilty because of this, that we inherit not just Adam's weakness, but Adam's guilt. And it was felt rather difficult to attribute this to the Mother of God. So we have to find a way out of doing this. And the great sort of prophet of it, if you like, was Duns Scotus, a Franciscan, I think of Scots origin, a Franciscan theologian in the Middle Ages, who said God couldn't possibly have let his mother suffer the taint of guilt and sin, and so he must have prevented it. He must have cleansed her from this in her mother's womb from the very first moment of her conception. The power of evil was not allowed to touch her. And when sort of asked, well, how do you know this? He said, well, this was a good thing to do. God always does good things, so God must have done it. Gosh, how simple faith must have been in the Middle Ages, even to sophisticated theologians. It's not so simple to the rest of us. However, in recent years, the Anglican and the Roman Catholic Church have had a dialogue about the place of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Christian dispensation. And quite rightly in their report, they point out that the angel addresses her as being full of grace. And he does that before the death of her son and the obvious, as it were, salvation of the world from sin. So prior, as it were, to her salvation, by the normal means, if I can put it like that, by the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, prior to that, she is said to be filled, in some sense, with grace. Now this seems to me to be absolutely correct. I can't believe that the Blessed Lord sat up in the heavenly halls, looked down at Nazareth or Bethlehem or wherever else, or perhaps London and New York, and went, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, eeny, meeny, miny, I will have her to be our mother. Let's send a Gabriel and ask her. It doesn't seem to be like that at all, because the birth of God in the world was something which was planned in advance, known in advance. There have been great theologians like St. Maximus the Confessor who have said that Christ would have been born anyway, even if there'd been no fall of Adam. Christ wasn't born simply to redeem us from our sins. He was born because God wishes to identify himself entirely with us and to share our life with us. And just so happens, because of the fall, he had then to suffer and die, because that's what we'd become and that's what we did to him, because we'd become like that, because of the fall. So we have this, I might say it's a rather Franciscan doctrine as well, the doctrine of the sort of necessary incarnation, that it was going to happen anyway. And it seems to me that if that's the case, and I can't think that it's otherwise, I can't think that that God suddenly woke up one morning and thought, gee, I think I'll be incarnate next week. What a new idea. Gosh, that's a good thing to do. I'll do. I never thought about that one before, but I'll do that. That can't be true. God is known from all eternity to all eternity, what's going to happen, what isn't going to happen, and all the rest of it. So the incarnation has been, as it were, on the books since before time began. And it seems to me, therefore, that the Blessed Virgin and her extraordinary and unique position in the dispensation of salvation was already known to God and prepared by God, and that she herself would have to be prepared for this. So it makes perfect sense to me anyway, and it's always been the case that all the church in East and West, except people who sort of bow in the direction of Geneva and Wittenberg and places that we've never really heard of or wouldn't want to even if we did, all the historic Catholic Orthodox Church has always thought that Our Blessed Lady was specially filled with grace because she was and is God's mother. She doesn't cease to be God's mother at any point. She walked around with the second person of the Trinity in her womb. That's an extraordinary thing to say about a human being. That this human being, I know we're all penetrated by God and all that kind of stuff, and God is present everywhere. But in a very special and unique way, the Blessed Virgin carried God the Son within her. And through all eternity, she's able to look at him and say, "That's my boy." Now that may sound a little flippant, but it's true. That's what the Christian religion teaches. Incarnation really does mean getting right down to the nitty-gritty of it. That really down to real, ordinary, normal family relations. The Blessed Lord was born of Mary of Nazareth, and he remains her son for all eternity, and she remains his mother for all eternity. And so it's not surprising that this was foreknown to God and that she was especially prepared. In what ways we can hardly understand, never mind. The church has always understood that she was indeed prepared by grace for the unique and extraordinary office, suffering and honour and glory which would be hers to all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.